Would you turn in your scripture tonight to Matthew 23? We've been in Sunday evening since the first of the year, involved in a study back to the basics. We've talked about back to the basic disciplines, back to the basic doctrines. Currently, we're in the segment back to the basic deeds. We're going to talk about a very specific deed tonight. I trust our hearts will be blessed. I was getting a little ribbing for this morning's sermon being a bit long back at the dinner. You just didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't just waiting for the chicken to get here. But I read a statistic this week that churches that have long preaching have a significantly, an amazingly significant lower rate of conflict. So what I was doing was involved in conflict prevention. Praise the Lord. I told that to Brother Keith. He said, that's because folks are too worn out to talk to anybody. Usually on Sunday night, we make up for it. And I've learned not to make promises. But Matthew chapter 23, we do want to hear what the word of the Lord says. Can you say amen? And I appreciate your hunger for the word. I know it's all good natured. I think. Matthew 23, would you stand? The basic deed I want to deal with tonight is why tithing is good for you. Why tithing is good for you. I'm going to choose a very interesting passage. Jesus is rebuking the religious crowds, and he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." How would you like to have Jesus for revival? "For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done." You ought to have done judgment and mercy and faith, and not to leave the other, the tithing, not to leave the tithing undone. In other words, In simpler, a summary here, Jesus says you ought not to have not tithed. You ought to keep tithing. You ought to do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, speak to your church and your people. Lord, we want to hear the eternal word of God because it's the truth that sets us free. Now, Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your faithfulness to speak to us. Now, Lord, bless the preaching of the word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to make something very clear at the beginning of this message. And I don't know if you know this or not, so I want to make it very clear. I don't know if you realize this. The way our church is set up, I as pastor, I do not know who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I don't know that. The deacons handle that. They keep record of that. They send out the receipts. I don't know that. The only time I even ask is if I'm about to put someone in a position of the church, and then I ask the deacons, does this person tithe? Because that is a requirement of leadership. So I said that to say this. I don't know, as I look out at you and preach tonight, I don't see a red T on somebody's forehead that says that they don't tithe. It's not there. I don't know that. That means I'm not gunning for anybody, and I'm not lauding anyone. I'm just going to preach what the Bible says, teach what the Bible says about tithing. I like a story that Brother Clendenin tells. He said when he was a young man, he sat down at the dinner table with an older pastor he's holding revival for. And he asked that older pastor, he said, "Brother, whomever," he said, "I want to ask you a question. Why do some Christians not tithe?" He said, the old preacher never looked up from his plate, kept eating, and said, "You hear me. I want you to know something. All Christians tithe." That's what he said. Now, I like that story, and I like to tell it, but I also know that some Christians aren't there yet. I like the rhetoric of the story, but just like all of us have things that we're not there yet, there are some Christians that aren't there yet. And that's what my approach is going to be tonight, is to convince someone that this is not only God's will, but this is God's blessing for your life. You may want to ask the question, why do some Christians not tithe? Let me give you some possibilities. Why do some Christians not tithe? Because some don't understand about tithing. You know, we that have been around church a long time, we take things for granted. We just assume everyone even knows what the word tithe means. They don't. Not everyone knows what the word tithe means, especially those not raised around church. Very simply, the word tithe is an old English word. It's a word they used centuries ago that simply means tenth. Tenth. So to tithe is to give a tenth of what God gives to you. To tithe is to give a tenth of your income. But the point is, some don't tithe because they don't understand what the Bible teaches. They don't even understand what it is. Now, the good thing is, it is easy to understand. If you teach your children pick up on this very quickly. I mean, it's a good lesson. They get a dollar for an allowance, and you say, are you going to pay your tithes? And they look at you, what is that, Mom? Well, it's the tenth we give to God. It helps them with their math. You're helping them with their school, not just religious things. And you explain to them, a dollar's got 10 dimes in it, and I've given you a dollar as your allowance. Now you put a dime in the offering plate. So some don't understand, but it is an easy principle to understand. Why do some Christians not tithe? Because some do understand, they just disagree. For whatever reason, they just don't think that that applies. And they would argue the theology or argue the scripture. Why do some Christians not tithe? Some understand and they say, oh, that's nice, but they lack the commitment. They lack the discipline, or they lack the experience. They've never just really let God move on them and show them what he wants to do by their tithing. Why do some Christians not tithe? Because some understand, but they continue to make excuses and come up with reasons. One of the greatest or the most common responses to the message of tithing from a Christian is simply this. Nowhere in the New Testament does the New Testament command someone to tithe. I've been asked that. Is that true? Is anywhere? Well, the closest you can come is the scripture I read tonight in the New Testament where Jesus said, this you ought to have done. You ought to have tithe. But by and large, is that true or false? That nowhere in the New Testament does it command us to tithe. Is it true or false? Basically, it's true. And it sounds so spiritual and final. That's it. The argument's off because the New Testament does not commit. But I want you to notice what that very statement does. It says nowhere we shouldn't tithe because nowhere in the New Testament is there just this clear, emphatic command to tithe. The first thing it does is it makes this artificial, what I believe is a fake division between the Old Testament and New Testament. It says if something's in the New Testament, it's for us, it's good, it's profitable. But by the nature of that argument, that says if it's in the Old Testament, it's not for us, it's not good, and there's nothing there that can speak to us. I don't like that, do you? I don't think we should have the attitude. In fact, let me give you some examples. If we're only going to take what's in the New Testament, we're in trouble when it comes to child rearing. Did you know most of the verses that give us principles for child rearing are in the Old Testament, the Proverbs? If we take that as our way of looking at it, well, if it's not specifically stated in the New Testament, it's not for us, then we will have to do away with most of our principles for worship. You know where we get most of our principles for worship? From the Old Testament. Clap your hands, all you people. Raise your hands in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord, for he's greatly to be praised. On and on, sing unto the Lord. Amen. Most of our principles of worship come from the Old Testament. And we could go on and on. What about principles of financing? Did you know most principles of how we handle our finances are not in the New Testament? They are in the Old Testament. And the point, and without belaboring it, I'm going to give you one more example. The point is, does that mean because it's not in the New Testament, when we're in times of grief, we can't take out Psalm 23 and begin to quote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," simply because it's from the Old Testament? So I don't like this thing that he says, well, just because it's not specifically in the New Testament, it's not for us today. That devalues the Old Testament. It demeans it. I want to make one point in that, and I'll move on. And what was the Bible of Jesus? What Bible did Jesus preach from? What Bible did the apostles preach and teach from? They taught from what we call the Old Testament. That's the Bible Paul used when he said to the New Testament churches, you ought to give. He was using what we would call the Old Testament. So I think it's just another, and I'm not being facetious, but another attempt here to confuse people by seemingly having a spiritual reason. Well, it's not a specific commandment in the New Testament. Brother Mike has it on the board here, but here's my point tonight. The New Testament doesn't command tithing, but it does command giving. And tithing is one form of giving. But even though it doesn't command giving or command tithing, it commands giving. And tithing is one of the greatest principles you can have in your life for just minimal giving. I'm approaching this a little bit different tonight, but if I was doing a normal teaching, I would stop and to say that the scripture makes clear there's a difference between our tithe and our offering, just a regular offering. A tithe was something God had always set as a minimal requirement for his people. But an offering was what you gave over and above that as a form of worship to the Lord. And so though there's no specific commandment, the New Testament has plenty to say about giving. Here's just one scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, and that in store is the treasury of the church, as God hath prospered him. And there shall be no gatherings when I come. That sure sounds like a tithe to me, doesn't it, you? In the New Testament, you come to church and you put into the church storehouse according to as God hath prospered you. In other words, as it comes into you, you give a portion of that to the church. The Old Testament gives us a principle for doing this. It gives us the principle of tithing. Now, I want to make clear, I don't think tithing is a commandment where we beat people over the head with. You mean you don't tithe? Wham! I don't believe that. I don't believe that this is something we should put a guilt trip on, put people on a guilt trip with. What I do believe is this is something we ought to say to people, take the word of God and let God from his word convince you that tithing pleases him, and tithing, here it is, tithing is actually good for me. It's good for me to tithe. What is tithing if it's not a commandment? Listen, if it's not a commandment, I think it's this. I think it's an inseparable part of worship to God. I'm going to preach tonight that tithing is not this huge commandment hanging over us like a dagger on a thread, but I'm preaching that tithing is a wonderful way that God has given us to worship him. It's a way. Every time you write that tithing check, that's as much a part of your worship as when you clapped your hands or when you raised them or when you shouted hallelujah. It's worship of the submitting of the heart to God that not only will benefit you, it will bring glory to God. Rather than just being a command, tithing is more than that. It's a principle of giving that sets the giver free. Amen. So with that in mind, we're going to move forward here, but I actually believe that a Christian who is passionate about serving God will end up giving a whole lot more than 10%. I have found that true. Those that are passionate in their worship, passionate about the kingdom, they end up giving more. And by the way, people say, well, that's just the Old Testament. They gave 10%. If you figure this rightly, Sister Norvale, they gave 23.5% of their income per year. Because they not just tithe on their first fruits, there were other tithes they gave. There were three different tithes that they gave. Amen. That's one of the things I have against our government. It's awful when our government wants more than God does. Praise God. All right, I just threw that in. That was just to see if folks were awake. But it's true. Another contention you hear against tithing is that it was part of the law that Jesus did away from with. How many's ever heard that? Tithing was a part of the law that Jesus did away with. Now, the law does say a whole lot about tithing. But I want you to know that tithing predates the law between 300 and 600 years. The first incident of tithing we have is Lot had been taken captive by the inhabitants of the land. A messenger got through to Abraham. Abraham gathered up his servants and his men, and he pursued and he overcame and attacked the enemy, set Lot free, and took all their goods and the spoil that those people had gathered up in their foraging. As he was going back home, and to make the story short, there came out from the city of Jerusalem a man called Melchizedek. And the scripture says that Melchizedek, even though he was not a Jew, was a priest of the Most High God. And when Melchizedek came out of the city, he came bearing bread and wine. And he said to Abraham, "You are blessed, and I'm praying that you will be blessed, because you are the servant of the Most High God, and God is going to prosper you, and the God you serve is great." And he blessed Abraham. And when he got through blessing Abraham, Abraham took a tenth of all those spoils, and the Bible says Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth. I've never preached this, but I want to say it tonight. You can look at it for yourself. Melchizedek, later we learn, is a picture of Christ. He came out of Jerusalem bringing Abraham wine and bread, and Abraham paid a tithe to him. Do you not think that the one that offered us the bread of his flesh and the wine of his blood, do you think he does not deserve a tithe like Melchizedek? The second instance is Jacob was running from Esau, and he was in the wilderness. He took a stone and made it a pillow. And as he lay down to sleep, suddenly God opened the heaven. He saw the ladder with the angels of God ascending and descending. And God said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to cause your seed to go across the nation. And I'm going to give you the land where you lay." And Jacob got up, and he was moved. He said, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not." And he even stood up that old rock he used as a pillow and poured oil on it. And he said, "Oh God, if you will keep me and bring me back to my homeland, everything that you give to me, of that I'm going to give you a tithe. I'm going to give you a tenth of everything you have given to me." And so to those that say we don't need to tithe because it was a part of the law, this was centuries before the law. But what I want you to get, not only was it before the law, in each case of Abraham and Jacob, their tithe was a form of worship. They were worshiping God through their giving. Can you say amen? One man has said, and this is going to be the pivot of what I'm preaching tonight. He said, "God does not need my money." I mean, let me ask you this. How many here tonight thinks that Warren Buffett needs your money? What about Bill Gates? Anyone here thinks that Bill, even if you gave him everything, does he need your money? How many thinks that God needs our money? God don't need our money. He owns it all. But the statement is, "God doesn't need my money, but I need to give it. God doesn't need my tithe, but I need to tithe." And so God gives us the principle of tithing because he knew it was good for us. Let me give you some quick reasons and we'll be done tonight, but I think these are important. Number one, tithing gives one the great feeling of making an investment and being a part. I just read to you upon the first of the week, Paul said, "Let every one of you of that church bring to the storehouse the treasury of the church as God hath prospered him." You know, sometimes we get the feeling that when we put a dollar into the offering plate, it's like giving it to our teenager. It just disappears in a black hole. It doesn't. Every dollar you place in an offering plate is an investment that you're making in the kingdom of God. Amen? You see, to tithe makes a person a part of everything that's done at and for and by and through that local church. When you pay your tithes to a local church, I mean, let's just look at here. We've had extensive remodeling, and last year we had to save the church and extensive work done. Amen. But when you tithe, you were a part of that remodeling. We've talked of Sidewalk Sunday School and Camp Dove tonight and that outreach to the children of Drexel and beyond and the different churches. When you tithe, you've been a part of Sidewalk Sunday School. You've been a part of Camp Dove. We talk about the missionaries. We could go on and on, helping the unfortunate, comforting the sick. But all of those, if you have tithed, you have made an investment in that outreach. You have been a part of it. You know, I had a thought, and I just want to read it to you. But instead of being aggravated at those that don't tithe, we should pity those who enjoy the buildings they never helped pay for, eat chicken they never bought a wing of, gripe about the temperature when they never paid a penny for the electric. Instead of getting aggravated, we ought to pity them. They're missing out. They haven't made that investment. And it's not just an investment in what the church is doing right here and now. It's an investment in eternity. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where none of that's going to take it. How many believes it's an investment? I've had great kids, but sometimes they didn't like the chores I gave them to do. And I would always say to them, I want you to know one of the reasons I have you do chores, it's good for you, but one of the reasons I have you to do it so that you can get this great feeling that you are a contributing member of our family. They may not like it at the time, but when you help do the dishes and mow the lawn, suddenly you feel like you're a part of that thing. You have made an investment by the giving of your life. How many knows we care about what we invest in? I suppose this is a true statement. I've heard it from many, many folks. But most of the time, the criticizers in the church are not the tithers. Most of the time. That doesn't mean no tither never criticize. But for a general rule, most of the times the criticizers are not the tithers. Why? Because the tithers have invested. And when you've invested in something, you're not out to run it down. You want to make sure it prospers. It goes forward. So, why should we tithe? It gives you that great feeling of making an investment and being a part. Number two, it breaks the power of money over one's life. The scripture warns us of the power of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And from the Old Testament, Proverbs 22 and 7, the last part of the verse, the borrower is servant to the lender. Money can exercise a tremendous power over your life. Now, I don't want you to lift a hand, but to prove this, think about how much of your time and your mind has been spent over the worry about money, whether it's to pay a bill or this and that. Think of that, the energy that has consumed in our lives, just this concern about money. Money has a power. It causes families to split up. Money does. Money turns people into murderers and thieves and liars and cheaters. I've been doing quite a bit of marriage counseling lately. I mean, for those that are about to get married, premarital counseling. And we have a section where we talk about finance. And as I introduce, I just ask a question. And most folks are catching on, but I ask them, do you know what the number one cause of conflict in marriage is? It's not burning supper. And I get all kinds of answers. How many of us knows what the number one cause of conflict in marriage is? finances. And I'm not going to give you the premarital counseling on that tonight. I just want you to know that money can exercise a power over our life. We can live a lifestyle that results in debt, where we're forever under the bondage and power of money. So why does God want us to tithe? Because when we tithe, we keep money in its place. Every time you tithe, you say, money is not going to control me. But by the grace of God, I'm going to be in control of money. The devil says, don't give it. I'll show him. I'll give it. I'll show him money does not have power over my life. Tithing shows money that it cannot control your life, but it also helps you to see as you give it that life's not all about money. You would think it so to listen to the common fare of movies and books and commentary, but life is far more than the abundance of things that a man possesseth. And every time you tithe, you're saying, I will not be controlled by money, because life is far more than money. I have found something again. Now, there's an exception to this, but I have found again as a general rule, generous people usually don't argue against tithing. I'm talking about those that understand it, have been taught. Usually it's those that are tight. It gets tight when you talk about people being tight with money. Or it's not just someone that's tight. Sometimes it's those whose spending is out of control. And they hear tithe and they go, ah. I mean, their spending's already out of control. Or it's those who feel hopelessly enslaved to debt. They don't see any way they can obey God in all of this. I don't know what the reason is, but I want to emphasize again, God knows that tithing is good for us because it will break the power of tithe in our lives. Many, many people who do not tithe become obsessed with money and controlled by it. I can't remember all the details, but I read in my history readings one time out west where this old prospector spent his life looking for gold, and he finally found it. He was by himself. And he had found it, made him a big bag of it, was headed back to civilization, got caught out trying to cross that desert, lost his energy, dehydrated, couldn't go any further. When they found him, they found his body lying out there in the wilderness. In one hand, he was clutching a leather bag full of gold nuggets. In the other hand, there was a note where he had scrawled something right before he died. He had scrawled it. It was his last word. And the thing that he had scrawled was, I's died rich. What a triumph. Thirdly, or wherever I'm at, God wants us to tithe because it requires that one budgets and thus brings financial discipline to that person's life. You know, it's just this simple. Now, I tell these young couples to be married this. Angela, don't feel like you can skip out on this. Well, we already did this, didn't we? I started to say because we covered tonight. But we already covered this with you and Nathan. That would be Angela. That would be French fry lights again. That would be Hannah. I know my own daughter's name, okay? Don't feel like you can skip out on it because we covered tonight. We'll cover it again. But I'll talk about tithing. Here's the thing. If you are going to make sure that the money is there so you can pay your tithe, you're going to have to budget. The only way to ensure that the money is going to be there each time to pay your tithe is to budget. God knew that. He knew that when we tithe, we bring discipline to our finances. We budget. The discipline to give 10% will begin to manifest itself as a discipline, a financial discipline in all of our decisions. To tithe necessitates that we think about how we're going to spend our money. You know how I know this? I read it again this afternoon. The biggest percentage of tithers is widows and widowers on a fixed income. It's huge, the difference statistically. Why? How can they do it? They're already living on a meager and a fixed income, and they pay their tithes. How can they do that? Because that tithe, we'll talk about the blessings of the Lord in a moment, but that tithing has brought discipline to all of their finances. And then why does God want us to tithe? Because it helps us keep life rightly prioritized. How many knows it's so easy as a believer to begin to let your life get the priorities all askew? Sure, we know that. But when we give our money to God, instead of spending it on ourselves, instead of spending it on other reasons and the things that money can buy, it makes a statement to us, to our enemy, to God, to everyone, that God is more important to us than money. And God is more important to us than the things that money can buy. Every time you tithe, you are making a statement, God is more important to me than the things this world has to offer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, we all know this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Every time I tithe, I am saying, I'm seeking the kingdom of God first. Sister Debbie said it last night in the women in worship service, and we were taught this way, and it's always been a practice. The first check that we write is our tithing check. You say, that's an empty ritual. No, it's part by making the first check I write after I am paid, my tithing check, it's part of my making a statement. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can you say amen? Peter Marshall, many of you read his books. There's a film out about him. He was chaplain of the Senate. He had one of those important men of Washington come to him one time and said, I've got a problem, Reverend. Can you help pray with me? And Peter Marshall said, well, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm a Christian and I believe in tithing. And for years I've made, and this is years ago, he said, I made $20,000 a year. And I always paid my tithe $2,000 a year. But he said, recently I began to make $500,000 a year. And that means that my tithe would be $50,000 a year. And I just don't think I can pay $50,000 a year. Would you pray with me? And Peter Marshall said, oh, sure, I'll pray with you. He said, now, God, this man really does have a problem. God, would you not help him with this problem? God, please lower his salary so he can afford to pay tithe again. Another reason God wants us to tithe, because it provides an opportunity for God to bless. I should have asked him this, to share this, Andrew, but it's a great story. You won't mind. He's going. But a while back, we had a missionary, and Andrew's always had a heart for missions, and it always moves him when you have missions. And his mission service and his allowance, you know, for doing his chores is $5 a week. And he got to thinking about this missionary and listening to that missionary, you know, how they speak before they give the offering. And he put in his whole week's allowance, $5, in the offer penny. And as a parent, you know, that pleased me. Well, this missionary, the next day before he left, he looked at Andrew. He said, come here. And he handed Andrew a $20 bill. I'll never forget, Andrew came and said, Dad, it works. He said, you said God would bless me if I gave, and it worked. Wouldn't you think that? And it does work that way sometimes. Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what I believe the scripture teaches? Now I know God's merciful and he gives to us and we don't deserve to be given to. But there is a principle that God is generous with those who are generous to him. But the thing we got to realize, and I know Andrew does, all God's blessings are not financial. Many of them are better than finances. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel blessed tonight? Do you feel blessed tonight? That's why we ought to tithe. One man said, I can't afford not to tithe. I need the blessings of the Lord. Another reason we ought to tithe is because it allows a person to participate in the mission of God. Jesus said before he left in Mark 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus, when he came, he said, I have come for the express mission to seek and to save that which is lost. Our theme for Sidewalk Sunday School this year. But that wasn't just Jesus' mission. He gave that before he left. He gave his mission to the church. He said to the disciples, the church, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now listen, here's the point. The church is just generic until you consider it's made up of individual believers. It's not just the mission of Jesus that he gave to the church. It's the mission of every believer that comprises the church. Every believer is a part of that task, that commission to preach the gospel to every creature. One person said, everyone ought to be involved in going. And you can do that three ways. You can just do the actual going. That's a missionary. If you're not actually going, you can train those that go. That has been often my lot. But if you can't go yourself and you can't train those that go, you can support those that go. That's why my heart is thrilled every time someone, and I don't even know their names, but I just hear about someone comes, Sister Ruth or Brother Magger, and says, use this for the kids on Sidewalk Sunday School. They can't go themselves, but they're supporting those that go. And every time you tithe, you're helping fulfill the Great Commission. We just had board meeting Tuesday night. This month we sent $3,000 to missionaries. If you tithe, amen, you were a part of the mission of God. Amen. Sidewalk Sunday School, it's not a moneymaker selling the snow cones and hot dogs. We give them away. We don't sell them. It's not a moneymaker. It's an expense. Camp Dove, as Brother Maggard spelled it, it's an expense. Amen. Many, many months, our electric bill at church alone is $1,200 or $1,400. And why do we do it? We're not doing it to make money. We're doing it to reach the lost and get folks to heaven. We're doing it because we've been given a mission to seek and save that which is lost. And when you tithe, you have participated in reaching the lost. You have participated in being the arm extended. You have participated in helping the hurting. Amen. You've been participated in the mission of God. Oh, there's others, but let me give you one more and we're done. Why should we tithe? It's the means of showing gratitude to God and give them back to him. You know, when we're really grateful, our natural impulse is to try to give a gift to that person. And many times in life, like it is with God, what has been done for us is far greater than what we could pay. And the only thing we can do is to give something and say, this is just a token of my gratitude. I'll make something up. Suppose you're a widow woman on a fixed income and your car just blows up and you don't have the money to fix it. And some men of the church say, you know, let's fix that car. And they fix that car. If you didn't have the money to fix it, you don't have the money to do much for them. But you're so grateful for what they've done. You say, I can't do much, but I baked you a cake. That cake would mean a lot to those men because they weren't doing it for money. They were just doing it as an act of service like God would. But they know that that cake represents her gratitude. And when we tithe, we're just representing our gratitude for all that God has given us. Not just materially, but spiritually in every way. Even sometimes I want to say to folks, couldn't we at least give a tenth of what we have to show our gratitude that he has given us his all? What about it? A tenth for his all? I'm telling you, to be grateful is to give. Amen. One time in a church whose traditions are a little different than ours, there was a four-year-old sitting out there with his mom, and they were passing the communion elements. And when they came to his pew, that little four-year-old boy reached out. He's going to get the communion elements. And his mother pulled his hand back and said, no, you're not old enough for that yet. We haven't talked to you about that. Pulled his hand. So they went on. The communion elements went on down the pew. A little bit later, they were taking the offering. His mother had given the little boy, 4-year-old boy, a bill to put in the offering. Here comes that offering plate. Comes in front of that little boy. He holds on to that bill. His mother's trying to encourage him. Drop it in the plate. Drop it in the plate. He holds on to it. She said, drop it in the plate. And he all of a sudden said out loud that everybody heard him. He said, if I don't eat, I don't pay. Point is, we have eaten. We've eaten at the table of the King. Would you come, music? This isn't something that's a drudgery. In fact, John said his commandments are not grievous. They're joyful things. I don't know how it ended up this way. I concluded the story about Brother Holmes this morning, but I was thinking of a time he preached a big meeting at Neosho there, and he'd been in Africa. You have to understand that. And Brother Heath, you know, cultures are different. They do things differently. They don't pass the plate. They put the plates up front, and people don't just drop it in. They come down the aisles dancing and shouting and grinning. I've seen the fields. Oh, they drop that in, and they'll just have them. It's just a spell. And at that meeting, Brother Holmes had shared that, and he said, you don't have to do this. He said, this is just something different. He said, I just want you to experience what they did. And they were taking up a missions offering. He said, tonight we're not going to pass the plates. He said, I just want you to do like they do. Just make it a joyful thing. If you want to dance, whatever you want to do, but make it a joyful thing. Don't get nervous. I'm going to have you do that tonight. That's what he just. And I'm telling you, folks began to pour out of those pews, and he just passed away. But I remember one of the first ones that responded was Brother Huff. Yeah, I thought it was pretty neat. I'll never forget though. I won't qualify that. I realize this is digitized and going out. But some folks got so incensed at him like that. I mean, how disrespectful. How? It was simply a point, an illustration of culture. But I think the point ought to be well taken. Giving to God is not some grievous arm-twisting thing. Giving to God is something that we ought to respond to with our hearts full of joy. Have you ever thought if we can drop something to offering plate, it's because He gave it to us. And forget the financial angle. He saved us. He's given us a home in heaven. We hear His truth week after week. He blesses us. He encourages us. Amen. He strengthens us. How many knows He's our strength when we're weary? He's our shelter from the storm. Hallelujah. He's our warmth when things get cold. Hallelujah. Isn't He a great God? He's a great God and greatly to be praised. I'm telling you, not all offerings are of money. Some of them are of praise. Amen. We've already taken the offering of money. But I want to invite you right now across the house. Could you stand and give God an offering of praise? Would you just thank Him for His goodness and His mercy and His love? Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. Thank You for Your giving and giving and giving and giving to us. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Freely have you received. Freely give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Shaken down, pressed down, running over. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your blessings. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. Hallelujah. I'm a debtor to Him. I owe Him my everything. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been thrilled the way folks folks have responded to this back to the basics and have sought the Lord and let God work in their lives. And I'm going to only ask you tonight, and again, I started this by saying I do not know who's a tithe payer in the church and who isn't, and I want it that way, because when I preach tonight, I'm just preaching the truth of God's word. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Consider what has been said, and I've approached it differently, I know that, but consider what's been said and say, God, I want to listen to you. I want to do your will. I want to please you in all of my life. Amen. I just want to invite us as a church to come and pray and pour out our hearts in gratitude to God for all that he's given us. Could you do that? Would you just come tonight and say, oh God, I'm going to spend some time seeking you, listening for your voice. Hallelujah. Lord, speak to me. Thank you for all you've given to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek him tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Seek him tonight. Lord, I seek you. I seek you, Lord. I seek you, Lord. I seek you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let him talk to you tonight. I pour out my heart to you, God. I pour out my heart to you. I pour out my heart to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pour out my heart to you, Lord. I want to give. You've given so freely.
Thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done for me. I'm so blessed, my soul is found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Thanks, thanks, I give you found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. Thank you for this moment, and I will continually, for each day I live, your grace you've given, I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment when in my life you've made such a change. Since the Spirit came, I've not been the same man.